Turn with me tonight, Isaiah. That when I started worshiping the Lord, it all came together. Glory to God. Isaiah 9. And teach you about an operation he's just now introducing me to. We've touched on it a couple services. Sometimes you have to just sit with God to learn. He said, come unto me, learn of me. If you keep doing things the same way all your life, we'll get the same result. We have to learn the ways of God to get higher results. It's not work harder, pray harder. It's pray more effectively, work more effectively. Because you'll be trapped just like Peter all night fishing in a boat. The last thing he needed to do is wake up and go ride it back out in the boat again and do the same thing he did before. He had to get something else going. He had to let go and let the Lord in. Amen? The Lord had to sit down in that boat. There was a lot that happened before he launched him out into the deep. He gave the Lord his boat. That's hard to do when he'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. The tendency is to keep going and doing the same thing again. Look, I need to go out and fish, don't you understand? I need money. I didn't catch anything yesterday. The offerings weren't any good yesterday. I need money. You know, I mean, in Peter's mind, he was trying to pay the bills. God shifted his directive to the kingdom of God. He didn't take him straight out into the deep. First thing he did is sat down. Stopped everything he was doing. And then he began to preach out of the boat. See, he changed his directive. He changed his compass. He preached and he taught the multitudes out of that boat. The whole time Peter's going, what are you doing? This is not what this vessel's designed for. This vessel's designed to be fishing. And you're preaching. See, God readjusted the priority of where he was going. Amen? Like he just stopped him, readjusted the priority, sat down. He had to have the ownership. A lot of people don't give God the ownership. You don't give him the ownership, you don't go to the deep. He has to own. Amen? And it has to be priority. It's not going to the deep and then we'll go preach. It's we preach, it's kingdom first, then the blessing follows the kingdom. You see? And so Peter obeyed, then they went into the deep. But there's another aspect. The Lord was in the boat and he had something on him. The Lord had the blessing on him. He had the glory of the kingdom on him. But you get around people with the kingdom of God on them, things will start happening. Amen. You get around people that don't have the kingdom of God, their roots will dry up. You got to have the kingdom on you. Amen. Have to have the Holy Ghost with you. We've been talking about that. Acknowledging the Holy Ghost. Becoming aware of his presence with you, in you. Abiding in you, dwelling in you, abiding with you. And all that you do. So Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is born, verse 6, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's where Benjamin dwelt. He said, Benjamin's my beloved. He's the final son. We're the final generation of the last days. He was beloved of the Father. He rested securely. This is the blessing Moses blessed the tribe of Benjamin with before they went out over the Jordan into the promised land. He said, you are the beloved. You're the son of the right hand. You are the beloved of the Father. You shall rest securely in God. He says, you'll be shielded and covered all of the day long. These are mighty blessings. He says, and you will dwell in the shoulders of God. gave him the position, the shoulders of God's very high position is right there, right by next to the head. Christ is the head. The shoulders is high. Amen. The shoulders are a very high place to dwell. The shoulders are not for bottom feeders. You can't dwell on the shoulders and not have vision. When you dwell on the shoulders of God, you'll see. You'll see very far. You'll see what's in front of you. You'll have purpose and destiny. But it's a place. You have to understand something about the shoulders. It's a spiritual place. It's just like the door. That's a spiritual door that dwells inside of you that you go into the kingdom by. Everything about the kingdom is defined by his word. If his word doesn't define it, don't go there. Amen? But if it defines it, it's yours. It's called an inheritance. The shoulders is the place of inheritance. He says the government shall dwell, say dwell, upon his shoulders. There's a specific place that this government, notice what he said about it. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, of the increase, say the of the increase, of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So there's increase in this government, there's multiplication, there's peace like a river, and it's eternal, and there's a release that comes from this position of the shoulders. I'm going to lay it down for you. Upon his kingdom to order it, he said, of the increase of the government, peace shall no end. Upon the throne, say the throne of David. Christ had to come into the earth on thrones that were established in the earth. He came in and he inherited the throne. He inherited Abraham's blessing. He inherited the throne of David. He had to be do all this as a man child from God. See, he was God, but he had to re-inherit. Amen. And then he took all that up into glory with him. Glory to God. All of this is in the glory realm now. Amen. Now, just jump on over to Isaiah 22. God is teaching us how to do things effectively. I remember when he taught me how to go in the right hand of God and cast a hold of my cares. Learned how to take off weights and burdens and cares the enemy was putting on. Then he taught me how to take off betrayal. When someone just put a knife in your back. In the past, when they would do that, it'd take me 6 months, if it was sharp enough, to get over it. But now I can just go in there and take it off. You can take that off if you know that place of exchange. That's effective praying. The enemy throws everything he has at you and you can unload it. I'm not talking about just lay before the Lord. I'm talking about unload the whole thing and you walk out free. Blessed. Like you were unaffected by it. There's a place that that happens. It's a place of exchange. Tell me how to exchange my sufficiency for his. That was a hard one. Boy, once you learn to do that, how to go into the rest. Now he's teaching some really awesome things about how the kingdom, especially this government, it's going to flow into the earth. Amen. It's not as hard as you think it is. You just have to do it. The big problem is you got to move beyond hearing and start doing. A lot of times we don't do until pressure gets upon our life. We don't do anything when everything's comfortable, when our creature comforts and all that starts getting affected and you start doing it. When your life starts shaking, you'll start praying. But you need to learn how to pray, not just to pray. I used to pray sometimes literally 9 to 12 hours a day locked up in a room. But now I learn to pray effectively. It's not how much time you put in. How many hours you clock? It's what you do. It's what happened, what transpires. Like the Lord, when he in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the way that the burden of the cross was upon him, he went into the garden, nobody go in there with him. There are times that there's nobody going to go but you. There's nobody going to feel it but you. You want people to feel it with you, they're not. It's just you. You go in there and he went in And he came back out. He said, Peter, can you not pray? He didn't have it on him yet. He goes, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He had not made the exchange. He goes back in for a second time. The Bible says he went a little further. But he comes back a second time and he's still that way. He says, can you not pray with me? I know you understand my whole life. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm feeling the weight of it. He still didn't have it yet. Then he went back in a third time. He went a little further. When he come out that time, the glory was on him. The glory was on him. He said, sleep on now. How do you know it was on him? The glory was on him because when he come out, that's when Judas was there. And those guards went to take him and they all fell out under the power of God. He had the power of God on him. He knew to go back until he attained. Even the Lord had to do that. But he knew he had to attain. Before he did that, he had to exchange his humanity so he could take on the care. He had to have the Holy Ghost with him to do it, to take him through that. He didn't go to the cross by himself. He didn't lay upon that scourging post by himself. The Holy Ghost was there with him. Only time the Spirit departed, he had to depart when he became the offering. He had to go to hell by himself. And that is something nobody in this room would want to do. That's 3 days he was separated from his Father for all eternity. Not one time was he ever separated. And those 3 days he lived separated. But he was effective. That's what he wants to teach us, how to be effective. You don't learn that by not practicing. You have to get in there. Amen? Glory to God. But I want to talk to you about this key that he works with you with. The Bible says he gives you what? The keys. Say the keys. Of the kingdom. And I'm understanding how these keys work, where they work from. Keys of loosing things that are bound. You can write this down. The keys of the kingdom work most effectively from your heart, from the position of the heart. A lot of times everybody's trying to turn that key out there. They see the key when they're trying to key. They're seeing something open out there, but they don't realize these keys all start here. Because they're moving an invisible realm of glory, an invisible realm of heaven into the earth. Everything from heaven moves into the earth through the heart. Guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. So you got to get centered in Christ in you. The heart where Christ dwelleth, you got to get centered in that place because that's where these keys are going to work. I found out when someone would come in, try to sting you, betray you, do you wrong, sow an offense. How do you handle those things? Because it's real. Because sometimes it comes with demonic power. It's not just a person. Demonic power is behind it. Amen. When it comes in heavy. And then you go, one open door and 5 knives are stuck inside you, you know. How do you deal with that? What do you do? Well, you can walk it out, live it out. I forgive, but the knives are still there. I found out these keys are most effective. Whatever you loose, whatever you allow to be bound in your heart. Upon the earth, you get bound up in heaven. Whatever you loose, you have power to loose all that. And you do that from the realm of the heart, seated with Christ. It's glorious. I've already taught on this. I'm trying to get you to another key right now. I'm really working there. Amen. So this key in verse 22, Eliakim, it was originally Shebna was the treasure of Jerusalem, and he got in trouble, as we know, and so he lost his estate, he lost it, and he got fired. I mean, the Lord fired him. God fired him. When God fires you, you're in trouble. You get fired by man, you're okay. God fires you. God called another man, Eliakim, as we know, and he called him up. He says, I'm going to commit your government. Say, your government. Your office of treasury to him. But he said something most amazing to Eliakim. He said, the key of the house of David, I will give to him, and I will lay it upon his shoulders. Say what? I'll give his government. He called the treasury office an office of government. He says, his government I will give to you. I want you to read this part so you'll see it in the Bible. He says, verse 21, I will clothe him in thy robe. Robe is a mantle. I'll strengthen him with thy girdle. I will commit thy government unto his hand. Amen. Now notice where it was, in his what? Hand. The government's got to move out of heaven to the kingdom of God is at hand. It's got to get here. Kingdom of God's not going to do us any good as long as it's up there. It's got to get here. That's the big issue God has, is getting it here. Because he doesn't drop it. He moves it through you. If he dropped it, he could bypass you. To move it through you requires the cooperation. Amen. So to move it through you in the glory realm, everything's coming through. It's not of you. It's just in you. You're conduit. You're part of the equation. He's going to use you once he gets you out of the way. First he gets you out of the way, then he puts you back in. It's just what he does. Amen. He said, I'll commit thy government into his hand. He'll be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Now, he's really speaking of Eliakim, but he's prophesying about Christ here. Because Christ, we know, in Revelation chapter 3, he received that key. The only other time it was mentioned. He said, to him that had the key of David, that openeth, and no man will shut. He says, the key of the house of David, or the government of David, the one that was upon the shoulders, I will lay upon what? His, verse 12, 22, shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Right now, it's just revelation. You got to go, what does it mean to me? How does that pertain to me? Well, the first thing we had to do is go find out where it is. It's in a room called the shoulders. We have a lot of teaching about that. It's an inheritance to be in that room. You don't work for that room. You abide in that room by inheritance. Amen? You got to get there. God's going to give you something. You got to be present. Amen? When you receive salvation, God will come down to you. When he wants to give you glory, you're going to go up to him. Amen? Now, I want to spend the next 5 minutes, HRC 5 minutes, talking to you about the relevance of this key and how it works. Because now I'm learning how it works. The Lord said, don't go pray to me and say, Father, by the key of David, open. You don't pray and think God's going to open something out there. That's not how these keys work. They work here. Amen? He's going to open it out there, but he's going to open it here first. It's got to move through your heart. And he moves the kingdom of God from the realm of the kingdom to the realm of the earth. He moves it through the heart by way of his keys. Your heart is the doorway. But he has a key that moves these things through. That's why he said he'll set. He said, I will, to the church of Philadelphia, I will set before you an open door. We need open doors set before us. If you're stuck, what you need is an open door. If you're stuck in an area of your life, you got to have an open door to get out Otherwise, you'll wander in that part of your life all of your life. You haven't had the open door to get out. Amen. An effectual door of favor, promotion. The key to the house of David I will open. And none will shut. What's in that house? Everything. Salvation, worship, intercession, deliverance, discipleship, benevolence, wealth, untold, multiplication, increase. The foundation of David's government was Mount Hebron, the financial foundation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all buried in that mountain and their wives. Caleb spent 45 years believing God for that mountain. David inherited, was crowned at that mountain. He went from 600 men to 348,000 men just like that. Crowned when it multiplied upon him. Christ inherited that mountain as the inheritor of the mountains. And now that mountain is part of the foundation of that government. But it's that key that opens. All that's relative when it's in heaven. It's got to get here into the earth. So how does the key work? Well, I'll tell you how he's teaching me. He said, first thing I want you to do is when you pray, enter into the door. We've learned that. Shut the door. Get in the presence of God when you pray. Get out of the earthly jurisdiction into the kingdom jurisdiction. We've taught a lot about that, so I'm not going to spend time on it. That's your position. He says, now when you're in the presence of the Lord, he goes, I want you to become aware of that key. I want you to become aware of what it does. What will it do for you? What's in it? What will it open on your behalf? Everybody in here needs an open door. How many of you have been walking with God for a long time and you're in the same place? It's because you don't have the open door yet. When God opens this kind of door, it will not shut. That's the glory of this door. Once it opens, there's no devil in hell will shut it. There's no system in this world that has the power to shut it. This door will be full of glory. It'll be full of power. It will be full of anointing. And it'll be full of favor. And it will be full of longevity. It won't stop because God opened it. That's what he meant. He goes, when he openeth, none can shut it. Nothing can shut it once it opens. That's the glory of this key. That's why we need to operate by open doors. But from heaven. And not just venture into something and say, God, come bless it. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to wait till he opens it. Then when he opens it, it won't be like the last times you stepped out in faith and fell. You'll step out on the water when he opens this door and the water will catch you. You'll start walking out there and things will start happening for you and you will be amazed. It works. Oh my God, it works. You're thinking it's going to shut and it does not shut. It stays open. I've decided my rest of my life by doors that are going to get opened by this key. Doors of salvation, media doors of ministry, doors to the nations, doors to generational inheritance, to blessings that are not going to wane from our life, but they're going to stay and they're going to multiply. There are doors for you that are made just for you. God has a door made just for you. Yes, he has a door. Sometimes it'll come by people. Sometimes it'll come through the systems, but God will open it for you. When he does, you'll know it, and the Holy Ghost will be right there with you, and he'll take you right through that door. But how do I get him to open that door? He doesn't drop it out there. He opens it here. This is what he said to me. He said, take that key. It's not a tangible key, but it can become tangible by awareness. And as I'm aware, first of all, he said, just hold that key in your heart once you've been in the presence of the Lord. And see, sometimes people try to do that and they don't feel anything, but you have no grid. The reason you have no grid, because you have no revelation. Because you hadn't got a revelation of the key yet. When you get a revelation of the key, you can hold it because you hold it by revelation. The more I become aware of this key, the more real it is. The more real it is, the more tangible it is in my heart. easier for me to grasp, easier for me to hold, easier for me to become aware. When I first started doing this, I started to wear this key. God gave me this revelation a while back. This key used to be distant, part of my future kind of thing. You know how the revelation is? Well, that's something in my future. One day thing. The key always just hung out there one day. I knew he was going to open it all by the key, but hung out. But God took the one day and drew it right here. He said, it's not out there anymore. It's here. Take the key and embrace it. First thing I had to do was I went up into the room of government. I started receiving it. I asked for it. The Lord said, it's already yours because it's mine. And he says, because it's mine, all things are yours is what he said. The Lord said, it's mine. He says, I already received it from the Father. He says, and I've already given it to you as a joint heir. It's already yours. It's part of the keychain. Okay, he said, so I had to understand by joint heirship, this is my key. He said, I gave you stewardship of it. But he says, when the Bible says all things are yours, he means it. You don't have to go begging for that key. It's already yours. It's a very powerful key. We're going to do a lot with this key. Trust me. A lot of things are going to open up a house of worship here with that key. I'm talking about a continual priesthood of worshipers. That place back there is going to start being filled with actual worshipers. Live worshipers with the song and sound of the right hand of God. That key is going to open that. Why? Because it's part of David's government. I understand how this works now. I got my faith working. You feeling it? It's also going to open up a blessing. I want to start prospering by this key. Amen. Glory to God. It opens the glories to the right hand of God. And he said, receive. So I started learning to receive the key. I said, all right, I receive it by way of joint heirship, knowing the government is resting in the room of your shoulders. And so I began to hold the key. I received it here. It went from a distant place of one day. See, the kingdom of God will never manifest in the one day. You've got to run into your one day. Your one day and where you are have to collide. You've got to close the gap. Only faith can close that gap. If your faith keeps putting it out there, it's not here. So the key had to come here. I received the key. How did I do that? I started becoming aware that it's in my heart where Christ dwelleth as a joint heir. You have the key, Lord. You dwell in my heart. Here's where the key is. And I started becoming aware I have the key of David. The key of David dwelleth in me. The key of David is with me to open the kingdom of God into the earth. To open an effectual door that no man, no system, no devil can shut. I've had a lot of doors shut in my face. I'm really tired of that. One thing I know, when my faith works with this key and allows the Holy Spirit to open a door, they're not going to shut. That's the glorious, because we had a situation, me and Carlos are working with his key on something, and we had this thing, and I told him, I said, this door that God opened will not shut, and he has not shut it. So as I began to hold this key, I begin to hold it. I'm believing right now for this key to open media doors that cannot be shut. I'm believing to open doors of generational inheritance that cannot be shut. I'm talking about real, tangible, financial inheritance for my family, for my kids, for this church that cannot be shut. I hold the key. I don't even worry about how he does it. Even if I thought about how he'd do it, he'd probably do it a different way. But right now, I just hold the key. I just hold the key. Say, hold the key. I hold the key, and I'm aware. And so what I do is I become aware of it and what's in David's government. That's where your constitution comes in, the one I have. It's full of the government of David. This constitution is full of different things. There's five different constitutions in this one constitution, but different things I become aware of. As I become aware of it, I have the key now. See, before I just hold this in my heart, but now I hold it with the key. Because now I decree, you set before me the open door of a house of 24-hour, 7 days a week worship. You set before me the open door of generational inheritance. And here's how I'll hold it. By this key you openeth, and none can shut. By this key I hold in my heart with you, you openeth. No system can shut it. Open unto me an effectual door. open unto me a door of favor. So anyway, he sets before you the open door that no man will shut. You're waiting, but here's how he's going to do it. He's going to move that through. Then when he moves it through, he'll go out there and open it for you. Something good's about to happen. So all of a sudden you come in there and something good happens. Something, say something good. Somebody calls you. Something happens. Something's set up for you. A door's open and you're on the path now. A pathway's open for you where there was no path. Now there's a path. Now there's a way where there was no way. And you sit before that open, and the glory's with you as you walk down there. The Holy Ghost is with you as you walk into that door. And what happens is you walk into it light. That's how you know when you walk into God's door. When you walk in the devil's door, it's full of light, then it shuts down. When you walk into God's door, it's a little apprehensive, and you go in and it just starts filling up with glory and light, favor, light, love. And then all of a sudden you move out of where you were into the next level of your life. He can set a door for your promotion and move you out of where you have been for the last 20 years into your next level. To get to your next level, you're going to have the key of David. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. We're going to hold the key together. I just want you to just center into the heart realm. You're going to have to learn to live from your heart if you're going to get effective. This thing doesn't require a lot of shouting. It just requires a lot of cooperation, a lot of connection, attention, focus. Fathers, we have focus here tonight. I know it's late. As we focus into the realm of the heart where Christ dwelleth, you dwelleth here. Holy Spirit, you dwelleth here. Christ dwelling, your words dwell here in my heart. Your promises dwell, and so does the key. We receive tonight the key by joint heirship. Tonight we're just going to receive. Just ask for the key by way of joint heirship. We are joint heirs with you, Lord. We have been given this place that all things are ours by joint heirship. So tonight, we receive the operation of this glorious key like no other key. We receive the key. I want you to just receive that key into your heart. Become aware that it's moving into your heart, out of your future, out of the Bible, into your heart. Become aware that your key is dwelling in our heart. We are aware that it opens our future for us. It opens your government. It opens the blessings. It opens the kingdom. It opens things that we cannot open. We receive it tonight. All things are ours. Every good gift and every precious gift coming down from above. Now it's coming down. We receive it into the heart. We receive, I'm aware that it is dwelling here. I'm aware that I have it. Everyone say, I have it. This is my key. I'm joint heir to it and to its operations. Holy Spirit, help me. Teach me. Show me how to work with this key. Show me how to work with you. Show me how to come in harmony. Grant me wisdom with this key. Grant me grace with this key. I have this key tonight. Now, if you don't do anything with it, you'll just lose it. You have to stay and practice awareness of that key in your heart. As you do that all the week long, then start decreeing the open door. Set before me the open door, but you hold it in your heart when you do that. Set an open door of favor. Set an open door. Some of you need open doors right now. A blessing and promotion. Ask him to open that door for you. Ask him to open up a new door. Somebody, you are just miserable where you are right now. You need an open door to get where God wants you to be. Set before me the open door. Set before me. Set before me the open door. Intercessors, learn how to pray with this key. You'll be highly effective in your prayer. Amen. Glory to God.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.